So page 896, John chapter 10, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
Thank you for reading the passage. I'd just like to add my welcome. My name is Chris Webster. I'm a regular here at Aldersgate Talks. Now, at school, I was a prefect. My duty involved a number of things, passing on the new kind of rules to the pupils, doing lunchtime duty in the lunch hall, and to encourage charity events. But the duty that held the most responsibility was gate duty in the morning. We were there early, and we were to make sure that the pupils' uniform was at the right standard. That is, that their shirts were tucked in, the ties were the right length, and that they were wearing shoes, black shoes, and not trainers. To make sure, also, that no unauthorised people walked in, and to write the name of those who walked in late as well. So we were to get their name and form. The problem was, is that I liked to be liked. I didn't want to get others into trouble. Neither did I want to tell off the tough kids at school to sort out their uniform. So I ended up letting anyone in. No matter what their uniform was like, white trainers, no tie, they walked in late, well, don't worry. If some younger pupils were being harassed by older pupils at the school gate, well, I just looked the other way. It wasn't worth the hassle. So I neglected my responsibility to look out actually for myself. And in doing so, I failed to keep the standards and to protect others. I wonder, what would you be like on gate duty? Have you experienced the pain when someone doesn't protect you as they should? This lunchtime, we're going to be looking at someone who does do the proper job of gate duty and of protection. And that is Jesus. Now, if you were here last week, we saw Jesus describe himself as the light of the world. And later on, Jesus goes on to do a miracle. That is to heal a blind man, so he has sight. Now, this healing was done on the Sabbath. That is a day that they were to do no work. And now this ex-blind man, well, he's into trouble with the Jewish or religious authorities. That is the Pharisees. He's roughly treated by them. And he was thrown out of the synagogue. But later, Jesus then confronts the religious authorities. And he says that they are blind. That's what we see in chapter 9, verse 41. Well, this conversation that he's having with the Pharisees continues into chapter 10. And Jesus is on a roll, as he has more to say about himself. See, throughout John's gospel, people have been asking Jesus, "Who are you?" And Jesus says, "I am." And that is the name that is given to God. And that is a name he gives to himself. And in Hebrew, it's Yahweh. But the thing is that as Jesus describes himself as the I am, people didn't accept it. No, men would say, "No, you're not. You're from Galilee. Nothing good comes from there." Or others would say, "You are not the Messiah." that you are just the son of Joseph. And still today, people don't accept who Jesus says he is. And it's important to recognise and act on what Jesus says he is, because there are eternal consequences. So this afternoon, we're going to be looking at Jesus calling himself the door, that is, the way to God. Now, what I'd like you to see is this. It's on your handouts. It's listen to the only way. Listen to the only way, verses 1 to 6. Now, having heard the reading, we might think, well, we're in the square mile. There are no sheep around here. I'd say I've never met a shepherd here at Aldersgate Talks either. So we could think, well, what is this advice for sheep farmers got to do with me? Well, this is what Jesus says at the beginning of verse 1. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. What Jesus is saying, like, look, what I say has something, I've got something very important to say to you. So listen. Now, if you were to entertain this thought, I'd just like to, get you to think through this question. Now, if you were to think of yourself as an animal, what would that animal be? Maybe a lion, an eagle, an owl, or maybe a sloth, I don't know. But I have to say, I've never heard anyone say, I like to think of myself as a sheep. No, we like to think of ourselves as strong, independent, wise and free people. You know, we do what we want. We're in the driving seat, we're in control. But in reality, we're the ones being driven around. We are easily influenced. And in fact, we are followers. God says the best animal that describes us or expresses us is that we are all sheep. And we all have shepherds. You see, we have all sorts of people telling us what is right and wrong, teaching us what to live for. We have people who say what we should and shouldn't do. Culture every day tells us. There are people that we look up to, maybe for fashion or what interests we should follow. And all these things and all these people shape us. But are these good shepherds? Who should we really be listening to? Well, let's deal with those shepherds that Jesus speaks about first in verse 1. Look at me. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. You see, these bad shepherds Jesus talks about are the religious authorities. But what we've just seen, or I've described, is about a blind man who's received his sight for the first time in his life. Now, you'd expect that this miracle from God would be celebrated by the religious authorities. But instead, they throw this ex-blind man out of the synagogue, which means he's cut off from the religion and also from the rest of society, as they were to follow suit and exclude him as well. This is how the shepherds treat a needy sheep, that is, this blind man. And so Jesus calls them thieves and robbers, only interested in fleecing the sheep rather than guiding, nurturing and guarding them. So, as Jesus speaks about shepherds and sheep to the religious authorities, it had rung all sorts of bells. You see, in the Old Testament, it speaks about Israel, God's people, as being sheep, and that the leaders are the shepherds. But again and again, they neglect their sheep. And this is what God says in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 to 4. So if you'd like to look that up with me, so back in the Old Testament, and you'll find that in page 722. 722. So that's Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 to 4. And we're just going to be starting halfway through verse 2. Thus says the Lord God, ha, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak have not been strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. These religious leaders, the shepherds of God's people, they are not just misguided, but actually they are causing havoc. That is because they are unauthorized shepherds. So, what is a good shepherd then? Well, look with me at verse 2. This is now back in our passage. So, if you look back at verse 2 in chapter 10. And I'd like you, you might have lost your page. Keep a finger in Ezekiel 34 if you have already a finger there. Please keep it there. But referring back to verse 2 in chapter 10, it says this. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. So in the village there would have been one large pen, which all the farmers would have kept their sheep. It would have been maybe like a big stone wall circling around them, maybe 10 feet or 3 metres high. And at night the shepherds would have driven their sheep into the pen. And that's where all the flocks of different farmers would have mixed together. And because the sheep were valuable, the villagers would have hired a watchman to look after the sheep in the pen and to guard the gate for sheep rustlers. It was a bit like a sheep bank. Now, we have only this kind of one legitimate shepherd then who has access to the sheep. Because there we have the watchman, and he only opens the gate for him. Legitimate shepherd. And the picture of the shepherd that was shown to us is what is like in Ezekiel. As I said, to keep your finger there, we see in verse 23. So this is back to Ezekiel, and it's in Ezekiel 34. And in 23, it says this. And I'll set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And what has been referred to here is King David. He ruled over Israel over 1,000 years before Jesus. And Jesus, well, he's chosen this image and claimed it for himself to say that he is the true king of Israel. Now, in the modern world, when we think of leaders, it's maybe not quite in the same way. I mean, think of the CEO running maybe the big companies that we see around here. Quite possibly, maybe you might think of your boss who sits behind a desk, removed from most of the workers. They probably don't know the names, they only see the workers from a distance. But the Bible's idea of a leader or a boss is a picture of a shepherd. That is someone who has intimate contact, who knows his sheep. He knows them. Now, I don't know if you go to a church where there is a creche. At my previous church, in the morning service, you'd leave the very young child in the creche so that mum and dad could go and listen to the sermon. Well, while the vicar was preaching, they'd hear a wail. There was a cry of a child from the next door room. Then you see a mum stand up and walk over to the door where the creche is, and then the door would open with the creche leader handing her the child. It was amazing. I don't know how the mother did it, but they could pick out the single cry of their child. And to me, I have to say, they all sound the same. But the mother could distinguish them, could distinguish that cry. Well, the same is for the shepherd with his sheep. You see, the shepherd spends most of his time with them. He's in their company most of the day. And so when the shepherd comes along in the morning to call his sheep out of that pen, well, he knows which ones are his as they troop out in front, behind him. He knows them as he leads them to green pastures. It's like the shepherd, as I said. He knows them. And Jesus, well, he knows us as well. He knows us by name. So looking at verse 3 in our passage in John 10, it says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He doesn't give us a number, as we might expect. You're number 6. No, he knows us, and he loves us. He says, I know you. I know what it was like for you in your teenage years when no one else understood you. But I did. I was there when your father died. I know how they treat you at work. I know how much it hurts. I know your sorrows and your joys, your hopes and your dreams. I know who you really are. See, Jesus knows us better than ourselves. He is the good shepherd. He's not a stranger. And he's come to take care of you. So Jesus asks us, will you follow him? So will you listen to his voice? The Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, when asked about his faith, he described it more of a wonky aerial, where the signal is scratchy at best. Maybe we relate to that. We know of Jesus' voice, but other voices are more appealing. We tune into them. Maybe for you, it could be listening to a YouTuber, or maybe a podcast or a magazine that you regularly read that feeds your dreams, but it leaves you feeling dissatisfied with your life. Maybe you listen to your boss's voice above all. You do whatever they ask, whatever the cost. You agree with them, whatever they say. You only work hard for their recognition. Maybe it could be the voice of family members or friends when they say, oh, look, don't take this God stuff too seriously. But if we are his and we listen to his voice and hear it, well, when it is uncomfortable, and maybe when we want to run away from it, we will still know, actually, it is his voice. It is his voice. And we are to listen to it. And we will listen to it. And we will follow him. We will want to. So again, see in verse 5 what Jesus goes on to say. A stranger they will not follow. You see, Jesus doesn't want us, those who follow Jesus, to follow a stranger, for them to tell us how to live. No, he wants us to listen to God's voice that can be found in the Bible. It's like the blind man, or the ex-blind man. He rejects the stranger's voice. That is the voice of the religious leaders. And we see that in chapter 9, verse 32. He says this to them: never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man, that is Jesus, were not from God, he could do nothing. Well, what about you? What is your conclusion of Jesus as you listen to him, to his voice? Because I'd encourage you to listen to and accept it, as this blind man did in verse 38 of chapter 9. He said this: Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. You see, at the end, there's only actually two responses. There's only two responses. And we see that in chapter 10, in verse 20. It says, many of them said, he's a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Or you have the other response in verse 21. Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Which one of these do you hear and believe about Jesus? Jesus says that we are to listen to him and only go his way. And so the second thing I want us to understand this afternoon is this: go through the only way. Verses 7 to 10. Go through the only way. Now Jesus moves on to a different picture, from being the legitimate leader to now being the gate or the door. And in verse 7 he says this: truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So he's saying there's only one gate, there's only one entrance, there's only one way in. There's no back entrance. It's a bit like when you go into the airport, there's only one gate, isn't there, really, into the departure lounge, where you have to remove your belt, your shoes, your laptop and watch and wallet. You can't go through otherwise, can you? And this is the type of gate Jesus is talking about here. And in verse 8, he says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. See, instead of taking the sheep out to pasture, the thief takes them straight to the market instead. in Israel's history, there has been many a false leader or shepherd, like a nationalistic revolutionist. They promise freedom. They go to war against the invaders, that is the Romans. But what is the result in verse 10? It says the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. They turn out just to be false promises, caring about self-gain more than the shepherd, more than the sheep in their care. So Jesus sets himself up against the religious authorities. You see, they themselves thought they held the keys. They were the ones who let people into God's kingdom. They were the ones who could exclude people as well. But Jesus says, no, I am the door. I have exclusive right to grant who has entry. Now we could think, well, that sounds a bit narrow, doesn't it? Well, let's have a look at again at verse 9. He says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me. That is to say, anyone. Anyone is welcome. It doesn't exclude what class you are, nationality, colour, culture. Jesus says, anyone. Anyone can come to me. So it's the opposite of what we might think. Following Jesus isn't about rules and regulations, but it's about a relationship. So it's not narrow and restrictive, but there is freedom in verse 9. It says this, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So it's not a dull, but an abundant life. But to go, we've got it, I would say, back to front. Following Jesus doesn't mean that we're going to miss out on life. If we're a sheep, imagine in that illustration that Jesus gave, if we're a sheep in that pen, we should be looking, gazing longingly at the gate, looking through that gate at the green pasture that lays before us. That is how Jesus wants us to look at him. He's our way out to life. Well, let's have a look at some of these gate expectations in verse 9. First of all, there's security. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So that is that only Jesus, in him, there is life guaranteed. Secondly, it's the second thing that we see, there's freedom. Carrying on in verse 9, it says, we will go in and out. So being a Christian doesn't mean just being saved and then getting on with normal life, no. It's how we relate to Jesus. And that is an abundant life, to be the people of God as he wants us to be. And then thirdly, there's provision, to find pasture. At the end of verse 9, it says, he gives us all that we need. Now, I have to say that we will experience tough times if we are his sheep. There will be rejection. There will be loneliness and confusion. We'll be let down by others. Out of this will come abundant life, which will be made perfect in eternity. And that is only what Jesus can give. So how can we know that Jesus is this good shepherd and the gate, the one who leads out to the way of life that is genuine? Well, Jesus lays out again that there's only two options. Well, see where they lead in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. You see, there are many ideas out there of how life should be lived. The hope of utopia. So I'd say that has left to many a destructive life or to death itself. You've got the kind of atheistic utopia of communism and the Third Reich. Then you have capitalism. You know, buy your dreams, but it leaves you broke. And actually there's no one there to care for you. Or you've got the life of enjoying sex, drink and pleasure. But I'm sure we've heard many countless testimonies saying it leaves you empty and actually many lives broken and wrecked in the process. But then we have the second way of life that Jesus describes in verse 10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now this isn't an extension of life, but the quality of life. That is in with green pasture. That's life at its best. Not a miserable existence, but a joyful, overflowing of blessing that is to be walking with God. So Jesus can only offer this life because he took God's eternal punishment for us, for being disobedient sheep, thinking that we can make it on our own. But we end off walking off and getting on the wrong path, getting lost and a long way from home. So Jesus is this good shepherd who came to find us, to lead us back safely, to be under God's care. And we see this in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And this was at the death of Jesus on the cross. It's essential. Without it, we cannot have life. Jesus can only offer this abundant life by giving his own. This is what makes Jesus the good shepherd. To listen and go through anyone else is actually dangerous, as it leads to death, and that is eternal death. There are many kind of false shepherds out there. So test them. See where it leads you. The best way to do this is to see if they go against God's word. That is the Bible. As Christians, we aren't to follow blindly. So, who are you going to listen to? The one who calls you by name. The one who opens the way to eternal life. And are you going to step through that door that gives life? We need a shepherd who leads us to lush, green pastures, to enjoy life that leads to God, a relationship with him. And that is exactly what Jesus has come to do as our good shepherd. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to be our good shepherd. Lord, we are sorry when we wander away from that path, that we listen to other voices. Father, help us to see that, Jesus, you are the way to life, an abundant life. Father, thank you that, as I said, you sent Jesus, that he came and he died on the cross, showing himself to be the good shepherd. And so, Jesus, help us to listen to your voice now that leads to life. In Jesus' name, amen.